The other day at TOS Towers, the arch middle manager slash cosmic space bird Kez decided it wasn't enough for us to just put out a new episode of Audio Fiction every Monday morning. He hopped over to our desk and slammed his cleaver down, slicing it in twain, notebooks, pen pots and all. He gazed upon us and squawked a single word: audiobooks. And so we are now doing audiobooks. We're super happy to bring the first The Other Stories audiobook to the world, Territory. In a remote Finnish hunting community, darkness and the cold hold the villagers close. As a pack of wolves threaten the villagers' future, grief-stricken hunter Yari must unite the population to reclaim their territory. Written by TOS regular writer Dan Howarth, narrated by Justin Fife himself, produced by Luke Condor and Carl Hughes. You can get the full audiobook from all good audiobook retailers. We're talking your Audibles, your Spotify's, your Black Markets. For more info, head over to theotherstories.net/territory.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
These aren't the stories your mother told you. No, these are the other stories.
The Other Stories would not be what it is without the incredible soundscapes and scores that are produced by a huge roster of astounding music makers all around the world. Today's composer is a guy called Kai Engel, or at least he goes by Kai Engel. He recently posted this on his website. Attention, since Russia attacked Ukraine, I'm not able to receive money to my Russian accounts. I cannot stop this invasion or affect the situation with my accounts. I just want to reunite with my wife, in brackets, she is Ukrainian, and to continue my work. I've started preparing for immigration out of Russia. If you'd like to help by donation, you can do so by heading to boosty.to/Kai Engel Music. Once again, that's boosty.to/Kai Engel Music. Today's episode is The Hand of Glory, written by Georgia Cook and narrated by Alexandra Elroy.
The wind whistled through Sylvia's hair as she wheeled eastward, riding an updraft over the bristling pine forests. Beneath her feet, the Appalachian Mountains stretched on into eternity. A blanket of fog and trees, punctuated here and there by isolated homesteads. A chill prickled Sylvia's arms, making her wish she'd worn more than her Lycra uniform. Her wrist communicator beeped. She was here. Terraboy's last known location. Martin's last known location. Sylvia slowed, hovering just a few inches above the treetops, her boots clipping the thick green foliage. This spot looked no different from the thousands of miles before it. Another span of identical forest, deep and loamy dark. But the coordinates from HQ were certain. Every solar operative had a tracker embedded in their communication bracelet just in case, and here was when Martins had given out. Sylvia crested the treetops, then glided down towards a break in the trees, landing in a clearing no wider than the front lawn. A dilapidated log cabin occupied the edge of the clearing, its windows dark, its roof sagged and dimpled. If it had occupants, a hunter, perhaps, one of the countless tiny communities sequestered among the trees, they were an excellent start. Perhaps they'd seen Martin. Sylvia crept to the porch, a set of wooden steps leading to a crooked front door. Slowly, tentatively, she reached for the handle. "What you doing?" Sylvia jumped. A girl stood on the grass behind her, staring at Sylvia with a mixture of fascination and wry amusement. She couldn't have been older than 15, with a pinched, thin-lipped face and wiry ginger hair. Sylvia swallowed, her heart pounding. "Sorry, The girl's eyes widened, her gaze falling on Sylvia's uniform. "Hey, you're one of those hero types, aren't you?" Yes, I suppose I am." "What's your, The girl wiggled her fingers, seemingly unfazed by a stranger on her front porch. "Special name? Don't all hero types have special names?" "The Wren." The girl snorted. "Wren? Like those tiny little fluttery birds?" Sylvia felt her cheeks grow red. "Yes." "What you doing up here, little Wren?" Now Sylvia knew she'd gone red. "I'm looking for someone." "Ain't gonna find many people in these parts." He's another superhero." Sylvia drew herself upright. "He went missing somewhere close to this location 5 days ago. I've been sent to look for him." The girl put her head to one side, still grinning. "And what's his name? The mouse? The tiny wiggling thing?" Sylvia blushed harder, but this time not from embarrassment. "Martin." Terraboy's name was Martin. "He's dressed in green. No cape. Heavy black boots." It had all seemed so easy back at HQ. Fly to the mountains, find Marty, bring him home. She felt so important, allowed to deal with the reconnaissance mission all by herself. But the girl made it seem so ridiculous. "Look, I'm gonna need to look inside. Is that okay?" Sylvia motioned to the door. They'd all been taught civilian negotiation back at HQ, an initiative designed for the newest wave of heroes. Gone were the days of hapless destruction of city centres. Now it was all about public relations. The girl shrugged. "Sure." "Is there anyone here with you?"
"Just Pa, but he's away."
"You're all alone?" Sylvia's brow furrowed.
"Course not, silly."
"No?"
"You're here."
"Oh, right." Sylvia took a deep breath, steeled herself, and pushed open the door. The cabin was as dilapidated inside as out, small and cramped, with a low, dusty ceiling. Spiderwebs dangled in the gloom. Ragged curtains stirred in the breeze. Sticks of simple furniture, a rickety table, a battered chest of drawers, a bucket and mop propped in a far corner, only served to extenuate the emptiness. A braid of herbs hung from the wall, punctuated by the dried carcass of what looked like a pheasant. Sylvia averted her gaze. A tiny, dark doorway opened onto the cabin's second room. There were drag marks in the dust below it, as if something kept locked had recently been swung open.
"So what do you do then?" asked the girl from behind her, "with all your heroing."
I fly." Sylvia shifted uncomfortably, starting towards the second door.
"And nothing else? Not like super speed or laser eyes?"
Something in the girl's tone cut through Sylvia's discomfort. She turned. "You know an awful lot about superheroes," she said. The girl shrugged.
"Pa taught me."
"Right." Sylvia turned. Something about the door at the back of the room unnerved her, like the shadow of a deep dark tunnel, or a stretch of bottomless water. The room seemed to grow darker the deeper she moved. A sharp, fetid smell hung in the air. The room swung open with a creak. Sylvia peered inside. The room beyond was smaller than the first. A dusty window permitted a trickle of light across the floorboards, illuminating a double bed and a hobbled dressing table. A faded rug of multicolored rags covered the floor. A set of work boots and a pair of children's shoes sat side by side beneath the dresser. Sylvia stood a moment, blinking in the gloom, before her shoulders slumped. What on earth had she expected? Some hero dungeon? A secret villain hiding in the mountains? She had to get a grip of herself. "You ever heard of the Hand of Glory?" Sylvia jumped. The girl had followed her to the door. "It's an old thing. An old legend." "Uh-huh." Sylvia's skin prickled. She wanted to be out of here. She wanted the sky, the whisper of wind across her skin. "It's the pickled hand of a criminal, hanged for preference. The fingers melted into candle stubs." The girl seemed to enjoy the ghoulishness of her story. "Whoever owns it can steal anything from any place, because the candle burns only for them."
"That sounds terrible."
"Oh, it is." The girl nodded emphatically. "But it's sort of like superpowers, ain't it? Powers for normal folk. Witchery."
I guess so." Sylvia shot a glance at the cabin doorway. The sky outside had already begun to darken. Clouds crested the treetops. "Sorry for taking your time." She turned and hurried onto the porch, grateful for the burst of freezing air. She'd never liked enclosed spaces, and something about the cabin, with its wooden floors and growing shadows, nudged a deep foreboding in the pits of her stomach. She needed the skies. She needed the wind whistling through her hair. She needed to find Martin. Sylvia made to leap upwards and paused. A tiny garden lay at the back of the cabin. Grass and wild herbs waved in the breeze, and beside it, nestled in the shadows, a set of worn stone steps leading down. The cabin had a basement. Of course it had a basement. Sylvia glanced over her shoulder. The girl had followed her into the yard, watching from the steps with an amused expression. Sylvia took a deep breath. "Keep it together." She was a professional. This was her job. It wasn't the towering spires of HQ or the burbling humdrum of the city, but she was still the Wren, still a licensed hero. She could do this. Martin was counting on her. She motioned towards the steps. Sorry, I have to check everywhere." The girl merely smiled. Sylvia began the slow descent downward, grasping the walls for support. The thick wooden door at the bottom of the stairs opened with a push, swinging on silent hinges to reveal a deep black void beneath the house. Shapes hung in the gloom, clumped in corners, flung across the floor in dispassionate piles, lined in rows against the walls. A shine like pale leather glistened in the darkness. Sylvia stepped forward, her heart pounding, and reached for the nearest object. A coat of thick grey leather, seamed with clumsy black stitches. Boots and gloves hung beside it. Handmade clothes. It was a workshop, a sewing room. A rickety workbench sat at the back of the cellar, heaped with shears and needles, scraps of discordant fabric, leather and froths of straggled fur.
"Funny thing,"
came a voice from the steps. Sylvia turned to see the girl's skinny silhouette blocking the doorway.
"We had a bird in here last spring. Little thing, no bigger than my hand. Flew itself ragged trying to get out. But these cellars are built to last."
Her teeth flashed white in the darkness. Sylvia steadied herself. "Let me pass," she said.
"You're the one who came down here."
"Yes, and now I'm leaving."
"But I ain't even shown you my collection."
"Collection?"
"Come on."
The girl grabbed Sylvia's wrist, beckoning her deeper. "But I can't."
"Come on."
The girl led Sylvia towards a wicker barrel in the corner of the room, stored in the shadow of the workbench. It rose to Sylvia's waist, filled with ragged offcuts of fabric. Blues and reds and faded purples glimmered in the darkness.
"Pa lets me keep all the scraps," said the girl smugly. "Some of them's a bit stained, but it washes right out."
But Sylvia wasn't listening. A scrap on the top of the pile had caught her attention. a swatch of green lycra no larger than her palm. She turned it over, her heart pounding. On the underside, still golden in the gloom, was the start of a bright capital T. The breath caught in Sylvia's throat.
"Do you want to know what happened to the bird?" came the girl's voice.
A shadow loomed over Sylvia, dominating in its absolution.
"What bird?"
whispered Sylvia. She couldn't bring herself to move.
"The bird from before, silly."
The girl's smile widened.
"We used its feathers for witching. Its little bones for future telling. Not as good as hero parts, of course. But that's for special occasions."
Her eyes narrowed, surveying Sylvia with the expression of a connoisseur.
"I wonder what futures we could tell with your bones."
Sylvia snapped from her daze. She spun, terror and outrage fueling her flight, and scrambled for the door. The little girl darted ahead, slipping through just in time to slam it shut in Sylvia's face. A metal bolt thudded home. Sylvia thumped her fists against the wood.
"Let me out! I swear to God!"
"Just wait here," came the girl's voice. "Pa'll want to see you once he's home. He's so awfully clever at making."
Her footsteps turned and retreated up the steps, leaving Sylvia alone. Sylvia screamed and yelled, but it was no use. Unlike the cabin above, the cellar door stuck fast. She sank to her knees, struggling to calm herself. What could she... How on earth was she supposed to... Her communicator. HQ. She grabbed her wrist, ready to punch in her coordinates. "Hello? Hello? Can anyone hear me? This is..." She stopped. No lights flashed. No machinery whirred. Her communicator bracelet sat useless and silent. There was no signal here, deep below the earth.
Was this how Martin had died? All alone? Trapped in the dark?
Sylvia forced back a sob. It was impossible to tell the time in this hollow place, but the light seeping through door slats was already shrinking, growing pale and silvery black. Sylvia pictured the emptiness of the pine woods above. She pictured the glow of golden candlelight, sparse between the trees, lighting a path seen only by the holder. The hand of glory. If you could craft such magic from regular humans, what could you make from the bodies of superheroes? What gloves could you stitch from bulletproof skin? What structures could you build from unbreakable bones? If the mummified foot of a saint is sacred, what about those of superpowered beings, enhanced through science or magic or sheer force of will? What kind of magic would she make? Footsteps outside. Heavy footsteps. The clattering footfalls of an excitable child running to greet them. Muffled voices in the cabin above.
"Pa! Pa!"
A burst of laughter. Sylvia curled into a ball as the footsteps turned and thumped towards the cellar.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode of The Other Stories. The Hand of Glory was written by Georgia Cook, narrated by Alexandra Elroy, edited by Carl Hughes, with music by Kai Engel and Tom Robson, and sound effects provided by freesound.org. The episode illustration is provided by Luke Spoon of Carry On House. A quick thank you to our community managers, Joshua Boucher and Jasmine Arch, and to Carolyn O'Brien for helping with our submission reading, and of course to Ben Errington for his content, loop the loops and double helixes he takes us on his social media roller coaster. Scream if you want to go faster. Georgia Cook is an illustrator and writer from London. She's the winner of the LISP 2020 Flash Fiction Prize and has been shortlisted for the Bridport Prize, Staunch Book Prize and Reflex Fiction Award, among others. She can be found on Twitter at @GeorgiaCooked and on her website, www.georgiacookwriter.com. Alexandra Elroy is a bilingual voice actress and writer who lives in the Netherlands. She loves everything to do with stories, especially creative and playful horror. Her favourite voices are witches, goblins, and crazy computers. And when she is not voicing or writing, she directs plays that she adapted from classic novels such as Pride and Prejudice, Death on the Nile, and One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Would you like to have an episode of The Other Stories dedicated to you or someone you love, or someone you hate, or maybe to a cause, or just to dedicate an episode to your favourite type of sandwich? Then get in touch over at theotherstories.net/contact and let us know. Once again, that's theotherstories.net/contact. The Other Stories is a production of the Story Studio Hawk and Cleaver and is brought to you with a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License. That means don't change it, don't sell it, but by all means share the hell out of it. Until next time.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.